Hare Krishna. We're continuing on the seminar on the age of Kali. And there are two places in which the symptoms of Kali Yuga, as well as that of its residents, is described in greater detail. And that is in the second and the third chapter of the 12th canto. Second chapter is called The Symptoms of Kali Yuga, but the third canto is the Bhumi Gita, or the Bhumi Devi's prayers. And at the conclusion of her prayers, then Shukadeva Goswami starts describing the different ages and then leading up to Kali Yuga, because when Krishna was on the earth, that was already the age of Kali. However, because of Krishna's presence, the age of Kali couldn't manifest its force and influence. But as Bhagavatam states earlier on, Krishna swad dharma pagate dharma gyana visaha kaladrishtam, that upon Krishna's appearance from this earth, then Kali Yuga really took effect, and along with him went religion, knowledge, etc. So it's very interesting to see what the relative qualities of the different ages are, which of course starts with Satya Yuga or Krita Yuga, which is called the age of truth. And their religion is present and all four of its legs are intact. So Dharma has four legs or four pillars upon which it acts. And interestingly enough, here in Bhagavatam, it is said that there are Daya, Tapo, Dhanam, Satya, truth, mercy, austerity, and charity. Whereas usually we see that the last one is Socha, is cleanliness. But here charity is given Dhanam. That means that cleanliness and the charity are very much interconnected. If one really wants to be clean within and without, then he has to give charity. And of course, charity may mean wealth, may mean knowledge, but we have to give. We just can't be takers. And what are the characteristics of people of Satya Yuga? They're self-satisfied. I stop at that one. Santushta, just like Krishna says in the Gita, Santushta Satatam Yogim. My personal observation has been that it's due to a lack of satisfaction, self-satisfaction, that devotees become entangled in so many unwanted and unnecessary activities or types of conduct. Self-satisfied means where I am, what I'm doing is Krishna's will, and I should just accept that rather than making so many different arrangements to fulfill the demands of my mind and senses. All right, but in Satya Yuga, for the most part, people are self-satisfied, they're merciful, they're friendly to all, they're peaceful, sober, and tolerant, and their pleasure is from within. They're not sensing joys, but they take pleasure from within, and they see all things equally, and they always endeavor diligently for spiritual perfection. Krishna also says that, always endeavoring for perfection. Always endeavoring for perfection, of course. It may not be that as conditioned souls we endeavor for perfection when we're sleeping at night, but at least otherwise one organizes one's time, one's life, one's work, one's recreation, that it's always conducive for spiritual advancement. And we're very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada actually therefore gave us a whole lifestyle in which everything that we do will always actually be conducive for spiritual advancement. Then comes the next stage, Treta Yuga, each leg of religion gradually reduced by one quarter. Now here's also a difference. Sometimes we say that in different ages that one of the qualities goes, Satya Yuga, all four qualities are there, and then in each successive age until only the truth remains, or honesty remains in Kali Yuga. But here a different perspective is given, is that all four of them are being reduced progressively by 25%. So each leg of religion, as we mentioned before, is reduced by one quarter by the four pillars of irreligion. So there are the four pillars of religion, there's the four pillars of irreligion: lying, violence, dissatisfaction, and quarrel. So by falsity, truth is diminished, violence diminishes mercy, dissatisfaction, austerity is diminished, and by quarrel, then charity or cleanliness are diminished. That's Treta Yuga. And in the Treta Yuga, the characteristic of people is that they're devoted to ritual performances and severe austerities. And they're not particularly violent or lusty after sensual pleasures. Their interest lies primarily in religiosity, economic development, and regulated sense gratification. And by following the three Vedas, they achieve perfection like that. Here in Treta Yuga, already Varnashram exists, and the society is already divided into four parts. But still, interestingly enough, Brahmins are in the majority. And in Dwapara Yuga and in Kali Yuga, we see that Varnashram is also there. But the proportion of people is different. For instance, in Dwapara Yuga, then Kshatriyas and Brahmins are most numerous. And in Kali Yuga, Shudras are most numerous. So obviously, although there are different types of Varnashrams, or at least Varnashram is there in all of them, Varnashram is practiced differently. It's certainly practiced differently when most everybody is Brahmin. And of course, to emphasize that point, how Srila Prabhupada required that, emphasize that Brahmins must be there in society, because Brahmins are the head of society. They're the ones who know what is the difference between right and wrong. They know what right action is and what wrong action is. And because they're studying the scriptures, they're devoted to the truth, and the whole raison d'etre, or reason for living, is to actually give guidance. And we see in our modern world, although there are leaders, but leaders don't know what's right and what's not right, at least certainly not according to God's laws. And that's why Srila Prabhupada emphasized that establishing, Srila Prabhupada wanted that this Krishna consciousness movement provide that section of people who actually can give guidance which is ultimately beneficial for people, not just guides them in terms of how they can fulfill their sense gratification, but who can actually tell them that this is the type of conduct, this is the type of leadership that will guide people to know who they are and guide them back home, back to Godhead. Dwapara Yuga. Again, austerity, truth, mercy, and charity are reduced to one half. So now they're only half. The sense here by this type of mathematics is that one may get the picture that in Dwapara Yuga, things are as half as good as in Satya Yuga. But I don't necessarily think that this is a linear type of mathematics that applies. For instance, Kali Yuga is not 25% as good as Satya Yuga. More likely, it's some kind of exponential decrease, which means that it will be much, much less in Kali Yuga and Dwapara Yuga than Satya Yuga. So what are the natures of people in Dwapara Yuga? They're interested in glory, and they're very noble. Why? Because there's so many Kshatriyas. They devote themselves to the study of Vedas, they have great opulence, they have large families, and they enjoy life with vigor. And of the four classes, again, the Kshatriyas and Brahmins are most numerous. Very interesting. So a different type of varnashram than when the Brahmins are more numerous. Now, here we come to Kali Yuga. Kalo tu dharma padanam. In the age of Kali, one-fourth of the religious principles remains. Last quarter, it will continuously decrease by the effect of irreligion until it is finally destroyed. Now, let me just continue. What are the symptoms of people in Kali Yuga? They tend to be greedy, ill-behaved, merciless, fight with one another without good reason. They're unfortunate, obsessed with material desires, and people are mostly Shudras and barbarians. Difficult to establish Varnashram, and difficult for any particular type of hope. These ages are also connected to the predominance of the modes of nature. And one can perceive the effects of these nature or the presence of these modes if one knows their symptoms. So when the mind, intelligence, and senses are fixed in a mode of goodness, then we should recognize that that time is the Satya Yuga. And what is a symptom of people then? They take pleasure in knowledge and austerity. Very interesting, just recently I was talking to one devotee who was asking me about when is Satya Yuga, or when is the Satya Yuga of Kali Yuga, when is Lord Chaitanya's Satya Yuga going to really manifest? Because generally we think that here we are devotees and some kind of tsunami is going to come along and sweep us away, and that's Satya Yuga. The tsunami is already here. The rising tide is already here. It's the Nam Sankirtan. It's the holy name. But it's when our mind, intelligence, and senses are fixed in goodness, we as individuals, then we will experience Satya Yuga in our own lives. And when collectively is a Krishna consciousness movement, then the Krishna consciousness movement will relish the benefits of Satya Yuga. And when we influence the world in that same way, then that influence will just spread out more and more. So, as John Kennedy said, don't ask what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. So don't ask what Satya Yuga can do for you, but ask what you can do for Satya Yuga to make Satya Yuga happen. Be fixed by the mode of goodness in mind, intelligence, and senses. And then, yes, Satya Yuga will appear. Now, the next stage, when conditioned souls are devoted to their duties, but they have ulterior motives and seek personal prestige, mode of passion being very prominent, because there's influence of mode of passion, that is the age of Treta. When greed, dissatisfaction, false pride, hypocrisy, and envy are prominent, along with attraction for selfish activities, it's not Kali Yuga. No, that's the age of Dwapara, which is dominated by the mixed modes of passion and ignorance. And here we come, here's today. When there is a predominance of cheating, lying, sloth, sleepiness, violence, depression, lamentation, bewilderment, fear, and poverty, that age is Kali, the age of the mode of ignorance. The mode of ignorance means no one knows what's going on, no one knows what's right, what's wrong. People are just devoted to gross materialism without any affinity for self-realization. This is the mode that's dominant. This is what we're fighting against. So we shouldn't be surprised if we're faced with such difficulty, but it can be overcome. Kirtana Deva Krishna Samukta Sangha Parambrajat. How? By taking shelter of the holy name. We can't fight with Kali Yuga. We can't fight against these forces, but we can be sheltered from them if we take shelter of the holy name. And that shelter means that we chant Hare Krishna without offense. Kirtan and Sankirtan. Well, we're doing that purely, then we will be protected by all means.